hello. Father God, we praise you and we thank you for sending the presence of your Holy Spirit in our midst this day. We pray for every heart and every mind and every need that is present. Father, it is your joy to meet us. In fact, you want to do that more than we realize. And Father, we pray that through the ministry of your word, that you cause healing to flow forth, you cause signs and wonders to be understood by your people. And for those who stand to minister with me, Lord, as they sit in your ministry of the word today, please increase an anointing in their life so that they will come with a special anointing today to minister. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the worship. So open your word to our lives even now. Cause us to understand. To the eyes of our understanding enlightened by your word. And we promise to always give you all the praise, the worship, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
The book of Acts, chapter 2. We're going to go on a new series entitled The Leadings, plural, of the Holy Spirit. The leadings of the Holy Spirit. We're going to cover areas of manifestation of the Spirit and how through His manifestation He leads us, He guides us. First, we want to see what is prophesied about the last days in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Book of Acts, chapter 2. And it's in line with what the Holy Spirit is going to do in your life. We've been teaching on holiness, preparing your life for this. Preparing your life for an increase in manifestation. Preparing your life for an increase in the leading of the Holy Spirit. But we want to understand some of His leadings, for without understanding we cannot receive His leadings. Could we cut out the echo, please? Thank you. Too much echo. Acts chapter 2, we read from verse 16. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old man shall dream dreams. Cut out the equalizer, please, if it's on. Thank you, just check. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And what we want to focus on is the first part, where it's prophesied that God will pour His Spirit on His people. And He especially mentions sons and daughters, young men and old men. Sons and daughters, young men and old men. This scripture has always puzzled me all the time until recently. God began to give more light. It cannot be that God is talking about physical age alone. For we know that old men also can prophesy, so can young men. So here He talks about sons and daughters. And young men seeing visions, old men dreaming dreams. We do know that young men can dream dreams too, and old men can see visions. So it's not just something to do with physical age. There's something more than that. And we may need a little help from 1 John, where we see that 1 John talks about spiritual age and not natural age. Let's look at the epistle of 1 John in chapter 3. Epistle of 1 John, chapter 2, that's right. Verse 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Now that's a spiritual age, those who have just been born again. I write to you, fathers, because they have known Him who is from the beginning. So, spiritual age, they have known God, they have known the vastness of God from the beginning. Their knowledge of God covers a vast expanse that He has to write from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because they have overcome the wicked one. So it talks about the middle part of maturing, of overcoming the devil, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. See, it's growing into the depth of God. We are learning to utilize the weapons of God. This refers not only to physical age necessarily, but to spiritual age. There is a children and young men and fathers, or we can call them old men. Now, using the same analogy, we bring it back to Acts chapter 2. And notice here that he specially speaks about three stages: prophesying, visions, and dreams. There will be great manifestations of prophesying. There will be great manifestations of visions. In fact, as the last days come, we are going to hear and see more people being in the realm of visions, dreams, and prophesying. It's going to be more. It's going to be multiplied more than before. That's what God is going to do in these last days. And all these things are not talking about ordinary things. They are spiritual things, spiritual prophecies, spiritual visions, and spiritual dreams. They're not talking about ordinary dreams. And I had a close look at the word dream, and I was surprised to find that there were two Greek words for dream. One is the word ona, which is a real word for dreams. The ordinary word for dreams is the Greek word ona. But this word for dreams is only used three times in the Bible, in the New Testament. And here is Acts chapter 2, where it talks about old men. We are talking about those spiritually long in the Lord. Spiritually long in the Lord. Old men shall dream dreams. And the Greek word actually says that is a long word that says enomiazomai enomion. So they use the word enop. Just remember, it's a different word, not the word ona, but the word that sounds like enop. And so it's not the normal word for dream. It's more than just a ordinary sleep. There's a depth of meaning to it. It has only been used one more time in the whole New Testament. Only one more time. And used in a negative sense. But from the usage of the negative sense, you could see the fullness of the meaning in a positive. See, the negative sense was used in Jude verse 8, when Jude talks about those who were like Sodom and Gomorrah, who are empty dreamers, going about in their own ways. Now, he is not referring to people who are sleeping. He's talking about people just moving along, not knowing what they are doing, but just moving along by their flesh. So in this particular area here, when it talks about this old man dreaming dreams, the Greek word that is used is so special that it refers to a message, a vision, or a spiritual conscious experience of a direction and leading of God in a subconscious state. And that definition will be true. Any definition has to be systematic and consistent with every part of the Bible. If we use that for Jude verse 8, it will be consistent. You see, in Jude verse 8, this group of people who were led by the flesh are led not only consciously. They have reached the point where they are led subconsciously. And we know that can happen. Many people do things subconsciously. Our conscious and our subconscious mind need renewal. We need the word not only in our conscious mind, we need to get it into our subconscious and get it further down into our spirit. Our subconscious mind is not the human spirit, it is a part of our soul. And so these people are moving so subconsciously, drawn by their own lust. Dreamers, Jude calls them. They're not sleeping. By talking about the level of being drawn into something subconsciously, applying it positively, old men dreaming dreams, it speaks about the depth of God's leading and spirit in you, then you receive to the extent that it comes even to the level of your subconscious. See, you can have a vision right now. God can give you a vision, but the vision only touches your conscious mind. It's only the beginning. As that vision grows in you, it becomes a part of your subconscious too. Now that vision usually and always is a part of your spirit. It comes forth from your spirit. But as we all know, what our spirit has, unless it can flow through the soul that is renewed, it does not come out. So the first time we begin to understand and receive a leading in vision, it's our conscious mind that receives. That's not enough. See, young men see visions, but old men dream dreams. It's the same vision that is now sunk into the subconscious mind, deeper. Dream dreams. This is the actual Greek definition of the word enopneazomai enopneon. And this is what it says. It's from the word, two words combined. En and hypnos, which means simply, something being presented during your subconscious state, which is usually your sleep. And this is the definition. A supernatural suggestion or impression received during sleep or a subconscious state. Old man. Let old men dream dreams. Let me put that statement into that and see how it goes. Old men shall receive supernatural suggestions and impressions during sleep or a subconscious state. Wow. Supernatural leadings of the Lord. And so, what we're going to touch first of all this morning is on the leadings of the Spirit, part one, dreams. Is it, why talk about dreams? You spend one third of your life sleeping. Two thirds of your life doing all kinds of things, hopefully for the Lord. We train Christians 24 hours. See, we train Christians to obey God and to learn to hear God's voice and move in the Spirit of God when they are conscious. All the training is in that area. So we have covered two-thirds of your life. Unless we touch the other one-third and tell you how to make use of that part of your life, we miss out a lot of your life. We say, all to Jesus I surrender, include your sleep. Of course, we have to pray for those of you who spend half your life sleeping. You sleep too much. Maybe you want a spirit of slumber. We spend a lot of our time sleeping, one third of our whole life, imagine that, approximately. And some could sleep less, a quarter. But it's still quite a large portion of your life. Imagine the hours you spend sleeping. So we want to know how we can be sensitive to God during those times. So that we could be 24 hours in knowing the knowledge of God. God speaks to us when we are awake. God speaks to us when we are asleep. We know it. So we learn to understand dreams as well as visions. And as we look into that area to bring understanding in our lives, God incidentally has given many of you even before today dreams. He told me that. Even when I came to the daughter as a sister, I said, yeah, I got this dream. I said, yes, I've been praying for all of you throughout the week. And they don't speak to me yet, because today's message is on dream. After the message, then we can talk. So here is where God wants to teach us the things that happen in our subconscious life when we are sleeping, that one third of our life. Turn to the book of Job, chapter 33, please. The book of Job, chapter 33. And as we talk about dreams, it's important to note that dreams can come from three sources, and we need to discern between them and have some keys to understand what God is doing in our dream life. We understand what God is doing in our conscious and thought life, but in order to be a full-fledged Christian for God and let God work in our life 24 hours, we have to understand what God is doing while we are asleep and subconscious. Job chapter 33, verse 14, and right on to verse 16, 14, 15, and 16, Job 33. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, and this is what he calls it, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. And this is the first time I teach on this area publicly. The only time I teach on dreams was during the overnight meetings, I remember, when I give little things that I normally don't touch on. But it's time to release this now. And so we realize when we look at Acts 2 that when he talks about old man dreams, it's not just a dream, an ordinary dream. That's what people think. It's not the ordinary word for dream in the Greek, like ona, but it's a special word, enigmos. And so that word talks about something received from the Lord supernaturally in a subconscious state. Not just, you know, today we talk about, hey, I have a dream, and it's just every fairy, something that just passes away. Not that way. This is surreal. This is an impartation that comes. Old man dreaming dreams. Here it says that God speaks to people in dreams. And if you think that dreams are not important, I want you to know that the life of our Lord Jesus Christ was protected by dreams. When he was a child, God spoke when he was in Mary's womb, in fact. God spoke to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 in a dream. Matthew 1 was praying whether he wants to believe Mary or not. Mary gave an extraordinary story about how she met an angel, and the child that she carried is the Messiah. And here is David engaged to her, Joseph engaged to her, wondering whether this is true or not. And being a righteous man, he was thinking to put her away, thinking that she was lying. While he was thinking about these things, the Bible tells us that while Joseph was asleep, an angel of God came and said, take Mary, as your wife. Call it his name Jesus, he fell. Remarkable. In a dream. The next chapter of Matthew tells us that the wise men were warned in a dream to go back by a different way. So if people don't listen to their dreams, they will miss God. When you can listen to God in your conscious state and hear the voice of God and miss the other one first. If we miss what God is saying to us in our dreams, we may miss God. How horrible it would be to meet God. And in Matthew chapter 2, Joseph was warned by a dream to go to Egypt. And he was, and
And when he came back, he was wanting a dream, not to go back to the place where he was, but to go to, he went to Nazareth. Dream protected Joseph, protected Mary, protected baby Jesus. Dreams are important. The Bible people don't regard dreams lightly. The New Testament people don't regard dreams lightly. Jesus does not regard dreams lightly. The Word of God speaks so much about dreams. It's only modern man, intellectual, rational, logical, who don't believe that dreams can do anything more. The Bible is clear. Dreams are important to give direction. They are part of the means and the leadings of God in our lives today. So it says God does feel instructions to our lives. My life has been affected by many dreams. I record them down. They changed my life. It's dreams that gave me direction many times over and over again. Dream, as well as vision. See, sometimes we cannot hear God so clearly in our waking hours or when we meet in a certain area. He tries to emphasize it again in our dream life so that we don't miss Him. He feels His instructions in our life. And anyone, any man or woman of God, any child of God who desires to walk closely with God cannot afford to leave this area of the dream life out. They must learn to consecrate their dream life to God. Dreams can come from three sources. They can come from God, they can come from the devil, or they can come from your own self. See, the devil can interfere in your subconscious life if they sin. Sin will open the door for the enemy to distort you, conscious and subconscious. It is the only door, by the way. He has no other door. If you choose not to sin and choose to be under the blood, there is no door for him to enter. Isn't it marvelous? The only door he has was sin. So remember to always be in the blood. If you're not sure, just thank Jesus. Jesus, you know, anyway, I have failed you tonight before you sleep, as you kneel down beside your bed, say, Lord Jesus, if I fail you in any way today, if I miss you in my words, in my attitudes, in my actions, in my thoughts, Jesus, forgive me. Cleanse me with your precious blood. Thank you, Lord, and continue to speak to me even in my sleep. So many Christians think that their life for the day ends when they sleep. It hasn't. It's only the beginning of the next part. Of God working in their life. You pray for your day when you wake up. Many of you wake up, you kneel down before the Lord, say, Lord, I commit this day to you. I proclaim this day to be of joy, peace, prosperity, love, abundance. And you meditate on the word, you prepare yourself for the day. How about preparing yourself for your sleep? No, you don't. You finish the day, oh, thank God, it's over. Oh, it's working out. Right. You don't prepare yourself at all for your sleep. We need to learn that. So many people are not receiving because they are not cleansed under the blood. There are too many fuzziness all over disturbing their night life. One of the reasons Satan tries to block your life at night is also because God is trying to bring something to you there. And incidentally, it is a frightening, nightmarish kind of dream. That's not from God. God doesn't give nightmares, only the devil does. See, these are open doors that come forth. Sin is the only door that opens. So put yourself under the blood. Put yourself under the blood. Oh, many times I will close the door and say, Lord, if I have failed you. No, I don't claim to be perfect, Lord, but if I fail you in word, in thought, in actions, in any area, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me with your precious blood. I avail of the blood of Jesus daily. Daily we need the blood of Jesus. We are all not perfect. We need the blood. When they say, hey, you didn't want anything, I'm not talking about that area. Have you seen in thought? Have you seen in your attitude? To sin, open the door. And you block God working in your life when you sleep. They can come from the devil, and dreams can come from your own life. your activity. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, I turn to that. Verse 3 has this to say. It brings the other aspect of truth. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3. For a dream comes through much activity. The fool's voice is known by its many words. Hope that part doesn't apply to you. The first part. A dream comes through many activities, which is true. Which is true too. It's a fact. I remember in the early days of the ministry, we used to drive down in our little Dalhousie Chevrolet from Penang to KL and back to Penang. Every week, we would drive down to preach 10 minutes and drive up again. Many times, I would be driving through the night after a fellowshipping. 12 midnight, 1 day, then I start driving home. So we used to go up and down. And when you drive at night, you always see these lights all the time. The car lights will come and all of that. And many times by the time I reach there, reach the house, and I sit in the house and close my eyes, I'm still seeing the road. I've been seeing the road for hours. 6 hours. 6 hours, and I close my eyes, I'm seeing the road. And sometimes in the sleep, it still comes up. I'm still driving. I say, hey, I'm so far and I'm still driving. See, a dream comes through much activity. It can come from yourself. It can come from your own life. We have to discern dreams that come from God, from the dreams that come from the enemy, to infiltration, or to our own self. You're covered by the blood, you've got left to differentiate. Turn it between God and your own dream. And there are some principles that involve in dreams that are very vital, that we need to see and understand from the Word of God, which is why we need to see some principles of interpretation of dreams. Everyone, to a certain extent, dreams. You may not remember a dream every night, but throughout your life, you do have dreams. What do they mean? What are they saying? We have to understand what they are so that we could determine the message of God. Do you know that there are three types of dreams from God? A dream from God can come in three ways. It's the same as a vision. Let me touch on what it is. A dream can come as, number one, symbolic dreams. Number two, as actual dreams or actual real-life situation dreams. And number three, as a message dream. The easiest is the second type. Real-life situation. Example, Joseph. When he saw the angel, let me give an example of the first, the second, and the third type. See, the first type is what we call a symbolic dream. In Genesis chapter 40, Pharaoh had a dream. In fact, he had two dreams. And remember, when a dream occurs twice in a different way, it shows the urgency of something. We didn't know that. The Word of God says it. Joseph, through the wisdom of God, says to Pharaoh, the dream occurs twice because it is determined, it is sure to come, and there's an urgency involved. So if you have a particular dream that comes forth several times, God is trying to tell you that it surely is, and there's an urgency involved. Pharaoh had a dream. This was his dream. He says, he saw the 7 ears of corn, and 7 ones, and they were eaten or taken up by 7 lean ones. He woke up and he went back to sleep. Then he saw 7 chubby fat cows. They come. And suddenly from the corner of his dream come 7 skinny cows. Here they come, skinny ones. And the amazing thing, he said, in Genesis 40. What are the seven skinny cows? Eat up the seven fat cows. And he said this, after the seven skinny cows ate up the seven fat cows, the seven skinny cows were still skinny. There's an amazing dream, don't you think so? Amazing dream. How can you have eaten a whole, when you have eaten a full meal, you could feel your belt tightened. But you hear this, seven skinny cows eat and nothing happens to them. They look as skinny as before. You don't know where the cow went. That is a symbolic dream. A symbolic dream. Later on, Nebuchadnezzar, in the Bible, in Daniel, had a dream that Daniel interpreted. Nebuchadnezzar saw the statue. So these dreams are called symbolic dreams. The reason I mention this is because there are some people teaching out there who teach only the second type of dream is from God. That is unscriptural. They say, if God gives you a dream, it will be real, it will be sure, no need to interpret anymore. It will be just as it is. What about the Bible? What about the symbolic dreams? Are they not from God? See, what you believe must be in line with the Word. If the Word contradicts what you believe, change what you believe. So, number one, they're symbolic dreams. Symbols are involved. The seven cows and the seven heads of corn represent 7 years. And we don't have to go further about how in Genesis 39, how Joseph interpreted the dreams of the baker and the butler. Both of them had symbolic dreams. When I read those dreams, I said, there's no way I could have interpreted the way Joseph had, unless the gift of God was there. Who would have concluded that when the baker had this loaf of bread on his head, it means that his head is coming off in 3 days? Who would have interpreted that way? There's no natural way that we could have gone into that. So, the first type of dream is symbolical. Symbolical. It needs interpretation. They are the most difficult dreams to handle. Easily misinterpreted. If you have a dream that is symbolical, you go to 20 people, sometimes you go to 20 men of God, you get 20 interpretations. And you think, why? What's happening here? See, a dream has a timing for interpretation sometimes. We'll touch on that afterwards. But remember this, there are two types of dreams, symbolical dreams. The second type of dream is a message dream, and then we can turn to Matthew. Not the message dream, the real life situation dream. I leave the third message dream to number three. So number two, the real life situation dream, Matthew chapter 1. Dreams are one of the leadings of the Spirit, an important leading. Matthew chapter 1, in verse 24. Joseph being aroused from sleep, did as the angel spoke. When did the angel spoke? Look at verse 20. As he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. In a dream, he saw an angel coming to him. Coming to him. Giving him a message. Remarkable. In chapter 2, we see the same thing in verse 13. I believe the same angel. The angel appeared again in the thing in a dream. Gave a different message. Gave a different direction. And then, in verse 19, the same angel came and told him to leave Egypt. And in, after he left for Egypt, in verse 22, he was warned by God in a dream, and he turned aside to go to Galilee, and he lived in Nazareth. So it's amazing, it's dreams that have led Joseph and Mary, and then protected Jesus. Dreams are important, these were from God. Now this second time again, a real life situation dream. They don't need interpretation. You don't have to try to figure out what the angel stands for. the angel takes them for something. His hands mean something. No, it's not symbolic. It is a direct dream. It's a real life situation dream. It's just as it is. And sometimes some of your dreams that God sent to you are real life situations where you may actually see yourself in a place that you've never been before, doing something. So get up and write it down. Real life, no need interpretation. The third kind of dream is the message dream. Where there are a lot of things here and there, but there's only one message that comes out of the whole dream. And that dream is called a message dream. There's only three messages in it. An example is in Matthew chapter 2, the wise men. See, it's not recorded the symbols or whether who appeared or what, but the main message that came forth in that dream, in that self, was not to return to Herod. Herod told him to return, the dream told him not to return. So sometimes your dream can be that way. There are a lot of things that happen in a dream, and you don't understand everything, and when you get up, you forgot everything, but only got one message. It came clearly. Only one message. It could be pray, pray, pray. It could be fast, fast, fast. Just one main message. Be obedient to God. The reason we teach on this area is Christians are learning to obey God and be led by the Spirit, but they are still not sensitive to God when it comes to dreams. We take it lightly. We don't record it down. When someone prophesies, thus says the Lord, our ears prick up like a dog. But when we have a dream from God, we say, oh, that's a dream, and I wonder what it means, and after a while, you forgot it. We take it too lightly, and we miss the fact that the Holy Spirit is working in our life even when we sleep. One of the major leadings of the Spirit is through dreams. It's even prophesying in the last days God will lead his people in dreams. All men shall dream dreams, supernatural impartation impressions that will come to them when they are in a sleep or subconscious state. So the three types of dreams, and these are the rules to apply when you interpret dreams. I give you four rules to apply for the interpretation of dreams. Rule number one is that the dreams that are interpreted, the symbolic dream especially, the second type of dream only interpretation, the third time only interpretation is a clear message. But it's the first one that is quite difficult, symbolic. Many dreams are symbolic. So what do you do with them? Number one, the symbols in your dream must be the same meaning and symbols as in the Bible. There must be a biblical symbol in your interpretation. Example, if in your sleep you dream about a dog, right? Something to do with the dog, and some event, and you get up. The Bible symbol in the Bible, a dog is something not good. Dog represents in the Bible Judaizers. Paul was fighting with those people called the Judaizers. And he called them dogs. There's only one sermon in the Bible where Paul says, beware of dogs. And he referred to them. Dogs also refer to people outside the covenant of God. When the Syrophoenician woman came, Jesus said, the bread is for the children, not for the dog. Because she was outside of the covenant of God. She was not among the covenant people, the Jews at that time. So you can see that dogs represent things that are outside. They don't represent things that are good. And so even if in your dream you had a white dog, or even a golden colored one, and you get up, hey, that's a good dream, you know. I wonder what the dog represents. Let's see. No way, sir. A dog in whatever color of the rainbow in your dream, polka dot, with crosses on it. Why? With red crosses on it, still represents something not good. You can see, obviously, that the more word you have in your life and the more understanding you have of the Bible, the greater your ability to interpret dreams. So if you understand the Bible and the symbols that are in the Bible, it helps you to interpret dreams. Because you know what the symbols represent. If you see a snake, whether they're white snake, black snake, purple snake, polka dot snake, they even can sing some nice songs in a dream. They still represent evil and deception. Snakes always represent evil. So there are many symbols, lambs, goats, all kinds of things in the Bible. When you get a dream and you don't understand a symbol, search the word. Don't try to interpret something outside the word. Your symbol must be in line with this word. It always never goes astray. That's the first rule when you come to dreams and how to understand and interpret them. And as you look further, we're not going to touch on how to receive the gift of interpretation yet. We'll leave that right to the last. But the second thing for us to realize is in Exodus 35, it says in verse 3, it tells us that a dream comes to much activity. Now this can happen sometimes. This is the second rule that you must pay attention to. That in your dream, your personal attitude and feelings can affect the accuracy of it. Remember this rule, otherwise you will misinterpret. See, if someone tells me a dream and ask for an interpretation, one of the first things I must tell is I must apply these four rules first. Then the second rule is this. As the person said, I must discern the kind of spirit this person has, the kind of attitude this person has, so that I could interpret the type of dream he has. If, for example, this person is a person filled with hate, right? And he has a dream that somebody is angry at him. It may not necessarily be that person is angry, but he always sees people to be angry at him. See, his own attitude colors the dream. So that his dream didn't become the color God wanted to be. It ended polluted and infiltrate and blur the vision. See, just like in our waking hours, when we are awake, you hear God's voice. But sometimes God's voice feels like an inner thought and you wonder, did I think about that or is it really the Holy Spirit? You also think about that. You also have thoughts like that. So in a dream it's similar. We have dreams of God, and sometimes, you know, those dreams reveal your innermost feelings. That means your dreams are the very activity. Some of them, your inner subconscious things to be dealt with. Not a message from God, but yourself, your own dreams, that come forth and show themselves for who they are. It's funny. You cannot lie to yourself in a dream. You cannot. It comes out. Your conscience affects it. Your feelings, your personal attitude, color your dreams. And so to interpret dreams, we many times check the people's attitude who receive the dream. Whether the receiving station is in functioning order. The transmitter is in order. Heaven never breaks down. Neither have they ever stopped for service. But it's our receiving station that breaks down. Sometimes the battery water needs to be changed, run low. What is that? Holy Spirit, prayer life not there, word not enough. And the voltage is going so low, and our attitudes are wrong, it colors our dreams. So the second rule is remember in whatever dreams, whatever the key types of dreams, to check your personal attitude and feeling whether they are coloring the dream. And when you're helping another person understand a dream, check their own attitude too, discern it by the Holy Spirit, in order to get the accurate picture of what God is saying.
See, the Bible says in Job 33 that God speaks to us. So that's vital.
And
the third situation, the third key in interpreting of dreams, and here is where we will turn to the Bible. I believe we need to turn to the Bible. In the book of Genesis, chapter 40, and look at how Joseph interprets and had the third key coming forward. The third key. Chapter 41. All right. Genesis chapter 41. Here we have Joseph interpreting Pharaoh's dream that I described earlier. Now notice in verse 28. That's where the interpretation starts. Verse 28. Right. It says, "This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh," it says. And verse 29. "In these 7 years of great plenty will come through all the land of Egypt." Imagine if they need the drink, they'll be finished. The whole nation will be famished if they didn't pay attention to a dream. Continue there, it says in verse 30, after them 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land, so the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Notice you have a key there. If a dream is repeated, it is established, there is a sureness about it, it's urgent, and it's coming to pass shortly. In the scripture. So here he interprets Pharaoh's dream, but notice a few things here. It is a dream that is not good, apparently, at first. I mean, would you, if you got a dream, if you had a dream about 7 lorries came to your house, brought all kinds of goodies, turned it around and emptied it on your front yard, and you say, "Hallelujah," and you receive it all and fill every room, 7 of them came. And then, after the 7 lorries, came the 7 tractors. Here they come. And they flatten your house. The first one flatten your house. The third one flatten you. Only in dreams you can be like cartoon, eh? By the time the 7th one passed by, there's nothing left. And you wake up. What would be your feeling? You say, "Oh my goodness, it's going to happen to me. Help, somebody help. Help! I just heard a teaching about dreams not going to come to pass. Oh no, what shall I do?" No, that's not why God gives dreams. See, people miss it. When a dream is like a warning, it's not supposed to come to pass, it's supposed to be prevented. I mean, if you have a dream of your daughter drowning, you're not going to say, "Bless God, the time for her has come." You're not going to do that. No, first of all, you're going to check whether this is an enemy coming in. Whether you're living fear so much that it comes out in your dream. That's the first thing. So you need to check yourself. Whether you're receiving on the wrong channel. Some people didn't turn to the right channel. Then secondly, you have to check whether it's from your own life. You check whether it's an enemy, check whether it's from your own life. Whether, you know, recently you have been, you know, sinning for 7 days a week, 3 times a day. It's coming out in your dream. Thoughts did occur to you about sinning. And then, after you check those areas, then you, if you finally conclude, if you finally feel there is a warning from God,
What you have to do is to pray against that fear and pray against it, and it will never come to pass. See, when you receive a dream, really, it's supposed to say, bless God, is going to come to pass. No. Most of the time, this type of dreams come from the enemy. Sometimes from our own life, our own fear brought the dream. For this reason, those of you who just fall in love, and you're praying to God, God, is that the will of God for me? It's either one, it's either one. And then you dream. You dream about you and her, him. Dang, 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 dang. Right. Holding down the arm. You cannot trust your dream, do you know why? Your feelings are involved. It's very hard to hear God's dream when your own feelings are coming up. They're involved. And those are the times that you should trust your dreams least. Especially dreams in that area. Your own feelings. Your own desires are coming out. You've got to examine them. So you cannot say, after you wake up from that dream, that's God, confirmation. Ring it up, 4 a.m. So you wake up, oh, hello, who is that? Oh, and he says, hey, I've got a dream, confirmation. It's not confirmation, right? It should have been confrontation. So confront yourself with the Lord. Whether that's really from the Lord. So when your feelings come into play, not necessarily the Lord send you that dream. That is why God never sent a warning like this part in order for it to come to pass. Never God forbid. And some of you businessmen, you're so rational and you're saying, God, you know, I don't have to hear you. You have been hearing from God in dreams. Are you not paying attention to it? God wants you in your dream sometime about your business. He wants you. He tells you direction. Tells you of situations not to enter in your dream. You could be dreaming about certain partnership that you're praying about. And here in your dream, you saw something happening that you never saw in your conscious state. You get up and you say, is it going to come to pass? Is it going to come to pass? Is this going to happen? No, it should not happen. It's a warning to prevent you from allowing it to happen. It must always be positive. The interpretation must always be positive. It must not be putting fear, grief into people's lives. So here is Joseph interpreting the dream. And do you know his interpretation stopped in verse 32? Look at Genesis 41, verse 32. His interpretation stopped exactly in verse 32. Verse 33 onwards is not an interpretation. Look very carefully. It's not an interpretation. The interpretation has finished. There's nothing more to interpret. But verse 33 is the application, the wisdom, and that is the third key. In order to apply dreams in our life, you will need, number three, the wisdom of God for two areas. The wisdom of God to interpret, and the wisdom of God to apply. Interpretation and application, A and B. The third key has A and B. Wisdom of God for A, interpretation, B, application. Now Joseph was now applying the dream. It had nothing to do with Pharaoh's dream. This is from Joseph's spirit. He says, now, since this is going to happen, choose a man who is wise. And gather all that is abundant of grain in the first 7 years. So that the next 7 years come, we will have excess and extra. That is wisdom. It is not the gift of the word of wisdom.
That is a revelation of the future. But it's a gift of spiritual wisdom. It's an application. It's the same kind of wisdom that Solomon asked for. It's the same kind of wisdom that James started to ask for. If any man like wisdom, let him ask from God. So we need the third key to apply in the brethren is wisdom. The fourth key is important to understand that there is a timing for interpretation at times. Some dreams may be shut up until it's time to be opened. So what we have to do is to record them down. And the Holy Spirit will bring it to mind. Even though you consciously forget it, the Holy Spirit will remind you when it's time to open it up. A similar kind of situation can be seen in Daniel's life. Daniel had a lot of visions, some of them in the night, which is like dreams, and he did not understand them. Because the time was not right to unfold them to him. But through his prayer, he was able to understand some. But towards the end of the book of Daniel, the angel told him, Daniel, go thy way. These things are shut up for the end of time. So the full understanding did not come to Daniel. Partial understanding. But sometimes, the fourth key is to remember, if the Holy Spirit did not give an interpretation, don't try to put your own. Don't get in the flesh. Don't try to get into a human rationalizing or human intellectualism. But wait on God. If you find that there's nothing in the Spirit, wait on God. Just wait on God. Write it down. And if you are a growing Christian, you should accept three books. One book to record dreams and visions and prophecies. One book to record your Bible study, your self-study, notes that you have, that your personal Bible study, so that you could continue growing, remembering things of the Lord. And the third book to record your prayer items in the Lord. Note down all those things you're believing God for, praying for, so that when they are answered, you can note when they are answered. If you are growing Christian, you should accept those three notebooks. It helps. So we need to record them down for the time that the Holy Spirit will determine for the interpretation to come forth. Having said that, we're going to conclude with how to receive the gift of interpretation. There is such a thing as the gift of interpretation in the book of Daniel, chapter 1. The book of Daniel, chapter 1. There are two things that are similar between Joseph and Daniel. Daniel was a man of dreams and also visions. Joseph was a man of dreams. And you notice Joseph in the book of Genesis and Daniel in the book of Daniel, both have similar characters. Both were faithful to the Lord when they were young. Both seek to do the right way of the Lord. So you will find these three keys to receive the gift of interpretation in both their lives. Sometimes it's on the silent part in Joseph, but it's clear cut in Daniel's life. But I believe he also was in Joseph's life. Like he was a man of prayer, I believe he was too. So here in Daniel chapter 1, we see in verse 17, and for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now look at it. There is such a special gift. And notice something about Joseph. Somewhere between the time he was in Potiphar's house to the time that he was in prison, he received the gift of interpretation. He interpreted the butler and the baker's dream. Just like that. And he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, just like that. Somewhere along the line, Joseph received the gift of interpretation of dreams. And it's available for every one of you here this morning. It's available. If you develop the first four keys, you will already move in that direction. To understand and interpret dreams. But there are these three things that we realize, three areas to receive the gift of interpretation of dreams. Basically, it's a gift of wisdom in a definite area of understanding. And here we see in Daniel's life, he was given a special gift. But what did he do and what did Joseph do that was common? And this was it. Daniel, when he was brought to Babylon, together with all his other three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came into that land. And there they were with many other young men. All the young men around them were playing around. I mean, if you were chosen as the cream of the crop to be brought at the king's table, a lot of people would start breaking their principles and compromising their principles. But not these four young men. They kept strictly to the Jewish covenant. While the other young men said, wow, look at all the food, look at the opportunity for promotion, for learning. And they gave up whatever Jewish covenant they had and they joined the Gentiles. But these four young men said, no, we will not. We don't want to partake all this idol worship that is there, that's involved. We want to partake of the things of the Lord. Joseph was the same. Potiphar's wife came, told him to sin. He said, no, the master has given me everything except you, but everything but you, and I cannot sin against God. Even though he was alone, he knew God was with him. That consciousness kept him from sin. If you're conscious of God, you find it very hard to sin. If you're not conscious of God, it's easy to sin. People sin because they're not conscious of God. Develop a consciousness of God and you find it hard to sin. Very hard to sin because you're always conscious of God. Now, Joseph made a choice to choose the path of righteousness. Daniel also made a choice. What do you see in common about them that God rewarded? Faithfulness. So, this is a different set of key, a different set, and this is how to receive the gift of interpretation of dreams. Number one, faithfulness to the Lord, to His word, faithfulness to His covenant, faithfulness to keep yourself for Him. See, many people don't realize the Lord has more to give you than the devil. The devil shakes the carrot in your eyes, you know, hey donkey, come on, hey donkey, come on. You don't even realize he's calling you all this. And he says, taste the pleasures of sin for a short time. And we say no to it. No, people of the world don't understand. You become a Christian, don't sin, you don't sin, you don't commit adultery, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't dance, you don't do this, you don't, hey, it's a miserable life. I don't want to become a Christian because I will miss all these things that I have, they say. They don't realize what God has. They have only been experiencing what the devil is tempting them with, which is temporary, and is going to collect payment from them afterwards. They're going to suffer for their sin. What they don't realize is what God has. And God is so precious. If any one of you really dedicate yourself to the Lord, let me express the heart of our Father. I have never known our Father not to give you a gift. I've never known our Father not to reward faithfulness. He has always. He has always. One of the things that Gordon Lindsay mentioned is that he realized that in the ministry he spent so much time with the Lord that sometimes his family pay a heavy price because they are married to a man of God. But then he realized, and he looked back, that God gives special grace to his family for the sacrifice that was made. God gives gifts to them, different type of gifts, spiritual areas. See, God never robs you. He is a father. When you dedicate yourself to him and say, I don't want, but first, you will have an opportunity to choose. During the time you're choosing, you may not see God's reward. I'm not making it up. James chapter 1 says, When you endure temptation, you are rewarded. When you keep, when you choose, no, I don't want all these things of the devil. No, I don't want the things of the world. No, I don't want to go the way of the world. I want the way of God. At first it looks like, hey, you're giving up everything. But later you found that you found everything. God begins to start giving you things. God begins to bless you financially. God begins to bless you. It is God himself who said, I will add this to you. All these things, the Gentiles speak, Matthew 6:33, I will add to you. Plus, he will add spiritual graces. He will add spiritual blessings. And among them, as his case in Daniel and in Joseph, he added that remarkable ability to interpret dreams. Do you know that it was that gift that promoted Joseph to prime minister? If Joseph did not interpret dreams, he could be a good man, he could be a hard worker, scrub the toilet floors of the jail. He would never made it to be prime minister. He made it to be prime minister because he could interpret dreams. The gift of God was on his life. See, when God gives you a gift, that gift promotes you. The gift of God promotes you. Promotion cometh not from the east or from the west or from the south, it cometh from God. It was the gift of God that Joseph developed that promoted him. Do you realize in Daniel's life, it was the gift of interpretation that promoted him? Isn't that worth more than money? Worth more than anything the world can buy? See, we don't realize it. When we choose the ways of the Lord, it looks as if we're losing everything. You're not. You're going to gain many things. In fact, it does not pay not to obey God. It will cost you more. Sin will bring you to a position where you will go further than you want to go, and it will cost you more than you can pay. Important for us to understand faithfulness to the things of the Lord. Faithfulness to choose Him, faithfulness to say, I don't want anything else in the world but the Lord. And I don't want sin, I don't want to turn to the left or the right. I only want my Lord. And keep making those choices, you will be rewarded. With wisdom, the things of God. Look at Daniel and Joseph. So one of the first keys to receive the gift of interpretation is faithfulness. The second key, after Daniel received that, an incident occurred in which Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2 gave a command for all the wise people to be slaughtered because they could not interpret a dream. And when they wanted to interpret, he says, I forgot the dream, you all have to tell me the dream and then tell me the interpretation. And when they could not, he said, off with their head. So the word got to Daniel that said, Daniel asked, why is this happening? Why is this urgency to kill everybody? And when he heard what it was, in Daniel chapter 2, in verse 16, Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Do you notice? Daniel chapter 1, he already has a gift of interpretation, but it was not fully operating yet. Right? He was not in the same position like Joseph to straight away do that. But there's also a difference. In Joseph's time, the king gave the dream, he gave the interpretation. Here, Daniel, they had to give the dream and the interpretation. That is harder still. But Daniel said, give us time. And in verse 18, that they might seek the mercies from God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the Lord God. Now here's important. How did they get it? Prayer. See, Daniel told his friends in verse 17 and 18, Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He says, pray together. Let's pray together. It's in times of prayer that the gift comes. So the second key, live a life of prayer. Live a life of prayer. Some of you don't realize what has happened to your life and the gifts that dropped into your spirit in seed form when you went through the overnight prayer. But I could pick it up in my spirit. And some of those seeds start growing. You can point it back to an overnight prayer. When in a time of prayer with the Lord, the seed of God's gift dropped into your life. We know not what's going to happen tonight. In a praise and worship. So it's important to spend time with God. Because it's in those times that He drops things into our spirit. The third key to receive wisdom, understanding, interpretation of dreams. Daniel chapter 10, please. Book of Daniel chapter 10. Notice something here. In verse 3, it says Daniel was fasting. He did not eat anything. And in verse 11, it tells us the reason why he fasted when the answer came. O Daniel, the angel said, men greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. Verse 12, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand. Do you know one of the reasons for a 21-day fast? Is to seek revelation. It's to seek understanding. See, fasting brings revelation. It puts you in a position to receive revelation. And you could put one of the objectives of the fast to receive revelation, to understand something. It may not come during your fast sometimes, but the answer may come sometime after your fast, but the answer is traced to your fasting. I know I experienced it many times. And one of the things I constantly do in my fasting is I fast for revelation. If I don't understand a passage in the Bible, I will bring it before God and fast and pray. During the time that I fast, the revelation may not come, but at least I had the satisfaction to know I have fasted over it and I committed that to the Lord, and God in His timing will bring it back to me. And He does. Sometimes 1 year, sometimes 2 years later, He says, here's the answer, son, that you prayed 2 years ago. I say, thank you, Lord. Of course, I would not say, Lord, why did you take 2 years? Because I know His answer. Because you're not ready 2 years ago. He always say that. We are the one always not ready, He's always ready. So the third key is to live a life of fasting and prayer. You can see, obviously, that Daniel was a man who lived a fasted life. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for your people as they are gathered this day in your presence. Father, you have prepared their hearts this day. And we know, Father God, that you're revealing things to their lives. Some of the things that you have been revealing in their dreams are essential to their whole business life, to the decisions that they are to make that will affect whole life. Some of the dreams are confirmations, things in the ministry. Oh, Father God, we pray that your word will saturate their lives this day, and let the anointing of wisdom and understanding flood every heart and every mind and those under the sound of my voice. And come upon them right now, to your spirit, who knows no time, who knows no distance, ever living. And you will impart a wisdom upon the hearts and the lives of your people. And today, Lord, impart the interpretation of dreams in the hearts and lives that are ready. Place it into them, Lord. Place wisdom abundantly, Lord. And give each one an understanding of the secret things of the Lord. And we promise to always give you all the glory and all the worship. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. He is our King. He is our King. He has broken down. Thank you. desire right now.
I want you very quickly, believer, your left hand or right hand high and say, I want Jesus.
You have a need of healing, you come right up to. Now it's the time to minister to you.